Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the 3.1 million Seattle and Puget Sound area, and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 100,000 listeners in over 60 countries. Today's shows will be really special because during the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., Pacific Standard Time, we'll be interviewing a fascinating gentleman, Simon Parks and Wynne Keats from England. Simon is a wonderful guy who's been on my show before, but this is the first time for Wynne. Both Simon and Wynne will be discussing a new exchange system in which money will be eliminated as a medium of exchange. So please stay tuned for that. We'll be going live to England in just a few minutes to interview both these incredibly wonderful gentlemen. During the second hour from 3 to 3:15 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'll be bringing in a lady, really nice lady named Seija Ponoska, I hope that I pronounced that correctly, from Helsinki, Finland, and Michiko Hayashi from the wonderful Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. They'll be talking about a wonderful conference coming up in Finland from May 25th to the 28th, and I hope you can come. Then from 3:15 to 4 p.m., we'll be going to Sydney, Australia, to interview the wonderful Dr. Helen Caldicott. Dr. Caldicott is a world-famous Australian physician, author, and anti-nuclear advocate. She created a wonderful organization called Physicians for Social Responsibility, and since the 1970s, she's been the forefront in the worldwide anti-nuclear movement. Her website is www.helencaldicott.com. I personally became friends with Dr. Caldicott in 1980 when I sent out thousands of copies of her best-selling book, Nuclear Madness, to every library, newspaper, radio, and TV station in the state of Washington in the United States in an attempt to educate people as to the dangers of the arms race in nuclear energy. As a result of our efforts, we were able to completely stop the construction of three different nuclear power plants in Washington State during the 1980s. I am so honored to have Dr. Caldicott on the program, and I hope you can all listen to this amazing, incredible lady in about an hour. I want to thank everyone so much for their donations and support, especially my wonderful friends Faison and Shirley in Florida, Jan Rossini in Honda, California, Anita in Dublin, Ireland, my good friend Marku in Helsinki, Finland, my good friends Emma Louise and Jan Erik in Norway, Randy and Jessica in Mercer Island, Darren in Olympia, Rod Shastri in beautiful Toronto, Canada, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this planet a much better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Voyage in Tacoma and the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on this program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. With that, I also like to thank my dear friend Carol's, who's been signing my website and providing wonderful support, my wonderful friends Michiko Hayashi and Hiro Emoto and Mrs. Emoto and the Emoto Peace Project Emoto Office in Tokyo, Japan, and my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, and also to my producer and sales manager here who've been helping me with my show. Out of This World Television is now broadcasting three times a week on Comcast Channel 22 here in the Puget Sound area, on Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m., Wednesdays 1:30 p.m., and Saturdays 7 p.m. all Pacific Standard Time on Comcast Channel 22. If you're outside of the viewing range, you can look up my programs. I have about 25 or 30 programs now on YouTube under either Ted or Theodore Marr or Out of This World Television. With that, I'd like to ask everyone listening today to please send lots of love and light to Michiko's mother, Masako, who suffered a stroke recently, and I know that your love and prayers will really help her. I'd also like to ask everyone to send lots of love and light to my good friend Orion, who's been diagnosed with throat cancer, my good friend Marco's mother, Lisa, who had a stroke recently, and to my good friend Wally in the Olympia area, who's had some health problems. My book, Messages from the Masters, Cosmic Messages from Albert Einstein, Professor President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, Mahatma Gandhi, and Masaru Emoto, as well as the Galactic Alliance, is done and will be sent to the publishers soon. It should be available by this summer, and I will tell you all about how to get copies when it's published. It's all about humanity's beautiful, bright future. I want to thank everyone briefly so much for their support for my recent Galactic Wisdom Conference that was held in Olympia, Washington, here just south of Seattle in the United States in March. We'll be having another conference at the same location on March 9, 10, and 11, 2018 at 9101 Stillicum Road, Southeast in Olympia, Washington. And if you'd like to register, please go to the website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. The videos should be available next week for all of the presenters. I know it's taken some time, but they should be ready in just a couple days for viewing. And if you're interested in that, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Now, I'd like to play this brief music from The Twilight Zone to start off my next set of announcements. So, Eric, if you could play it again, please.
You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. Your next stop, The Twilight Zone.
Thank you, Eric. With that music, I'd like to tell everyone about this wonderful spiritual trip. I'm taking people on June 22nd to the 27th, 2017, to Mount Shasta. Mount Shasta is what I consider the root chakra of planet Earth. It's located 323 miles north by northeast from San Francisco, or about a nine-hour drive from the Seattle area, or roughly a 9 to 10-hour drive from Los Angeles. Last year, I took a group of people to Mount Shasta, where six people actually physically went into Telos and Shambhala, the ancient Lemurian cities beneath the mountain. Other people actually met people from Telos on the mountain. Several people were taken aboard benevolent UFOs from the Hollow Earth. Others met Adama and Saint Germain. Still others interacted with Sasquatch, and everyone had such a wonderful time, many mystical experiences. If you'd like to come along, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or feel free to call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. The cost is $200 per person, but if you're a student, full-time student, or under 21, or a senior over 62, the cost is half for $100. One thing the Sasquatch have asked me to make an announcement is that they would like people to bring organic, non-GMO cinnamon rolls with lots of white frosting. They can't get them in the woods up in Mount Shasta, and they love them so much. I could just see them now eating them. They do like them very much. With that, I'd like to go to my guests now, Simon Parks and Wynne Keach in England. And Simon, hi, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. It's absolutely wonderful to be back and having a chat with you. I'm fine, thank you very much indeed.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Oh, good. And Wynne, are you there?
I am indeed, and it's so good to be on your show. Thank you.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. You know, the miracle of technology today is that you sound like you're in the same room. You don't sound – there's no scratches. There's no nothing. I've had Simon on my show before, and for those just tuning in who don't know about his background, both of his parents work for British and American intelligence services, the MI5, MI6, and also the NSA. And he's had a fascinating background. Simon himself says that his soul, if I'm correct on this, is that it's one-third human, one-third mantis, and one-third draconius reptilian. And you were given a choice some years ago which side you wanted to go with, and you took the benevolent side of working with humans, and I thank you so much, and the mantis in helping this planet. You have so much to say, and you have such an incredible background. Every time you come on, I always learn something new, Simon.
That's really kind of you, Ted. Well, today, really, I'm really delighted that you've asked Wynne Keach on, because we wanted to talk very much about a project which we call Fair Exchange, Fair X. We really understand that money is the controlling element on this planet, and Wynne is taking the driving force on this. He's the technical expert, and I know Wynne would want to tell the audience a little bit about his background. And what I propose to do today, Ted, is really let Wynne run with this, and then towards the end of it, then I'll just chip in. If you're okay with that, Ted, we could get Wynne cracking, I think.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's fine, Simon. It's. I always give a free range to my guests to talk about anything they like, as long as it's not immoral, fattening, or illegal. So that's fine. And now, as long as Wynne is, you keep away from anything immoral, fattening, or illegal. Please start.
Maybe I might be tempted with the cinnamon frosted rolls, though.
Yeah. I'm visualizing now the Sasquatch licking their chops as we're talking right now. They do. They like the white frosting. That's one thing they do enjoy. So I can do that for them. But When, tell me about all about your wonderful proposal. I'd love to hear it.
Okay, yes. Well, Fairex is it's a completely new platform, which is specifically developed for supporting trades of any kind, anywhere, and any scale. My history is that I had a front row seat in the development of PIN over 20 years ago, mm-hmm. PIN that you use on credit and debit cards.
Oh, yeah.
I patented and invented most of the processes. And I started an international company which sold those processes into the bank. And I was, back then, a world leader in these things. And I am the original innovator of one-time PIN, those volatile PINs you get on the second-generation PIN systems. Yeah, I invented those over 20 years ago.
Oh, so pardon me for interrupting, Wynn, but you're the fellow that invented all of that. My goodness.
Yeah. I was there when it all came in. I personally carried out the first credit card PIN transaction in the UK mm-hmm. in 1996, live on BBC TV on the lunchtime news.
Mm-hmm. Wow, amazing!
That was 10 years before we actually had it in widespread use in the UK. Mm-hmm. So yes, I was very much at the forefront of this, mm-hmm. and relevant to this Fairex system. We were running that in 1996 on the first GSM-1 phones, the first cell phones.
Right.
We didn't even have the chips in the cards then, and we actually ran the processors on mobile phones, which is pertinent because most of the world that needs Fairex more than anybody else are the ones that can't afford the smartphones, that don't have large incomes, are largely unbanked, and those are billions of people. And there isn't another technology on the planet that can provide very low cost, stroke almost free, secure, solid authentication on basically basic mobile phones. And we can do that. We can do that on smartphones. We can do it on PCs. And that has been my life. That was a big part of my life. Mm-hmm. I went into renewable energy after that. I'm the originator of Ridgeblade, which is multi-award winning eco-friendly wind turbine. Mm-hmm. And the last 3 years, I've been completely focused on Fairex. The big, big difference between anything else that's out there and is ever likely to be out there in Fairex is that it is uniquely for people and owned for people, i.e. it's run for them, it's owned for them, it's your system. It's not a big corporate, it could be a large system, but it's a distributive system. And it's everybody that uses owns it. I'm merely the guardian of its integrity and its ethics and its morals. It's a system I've designed and developed so that there is no one fracture point. There is nowhere that big corporate or big banks can target to compromise the system. It is used and operated by everybody that has it, and it is effectively owned by everybody that uses it.
You know, when I was talking to Simon a few days ago, what was it, a few days ago or last week, Simon, you had mentioned that the banks had come to Wynn and asked them for his help because he had formulated a system that couldn't be broken. It was so
Ted. It was the NSA.
Okay.
That came from America to Britain because Wynn's code couldn't be broken by them.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah, that was 20 years ago. And yes, I got invited to meet the nice chaps at the NSA. We had crab cakes from the Chesapeake Bay and we secured American credit cards and stopped Russian hackers getting at them. So that was all very good.
Fascinating. Well, you must have really, that really put you on the map as far as the development goes.
I was in a unique position in that I developed a technology that was disruptive and cutting edge. Mm-hmm. I was the originator of it, and I kind of rode the wave of that. So it put me in a lot of places and a lot of meetings you wouldn't normally expect to be. So I got a different view. I got a view from the inside track of how banking works, how banking system works, how economy really works, and how really there is very little real cash in the system, and most of it's just numbers.
Fascinating. Have you been so this new system that you formulated would be based upon encryption, so that hackers, for example, couldn't get your credit cards and use them to steal or out of bank accounts. Is that right? So that
absolutely. Except you don't need to use a credit card on the system. It's mm-hmm. It's like a Swiss Army knife of payment interchange. But if you can imagine something like eBay and PayPal rolled into one, with the ability to make barter trades and connect to the existing banking system, that's kind of what you have.
I see.
But it has uniquely, I've contributed the authentication system to this. So the last authentication system I wrote made billions of pounds. So I've contributed this to the system for everybody, because the big hurdle for people who need to have maximum use of a little amount of money and a little cash is that the authentication should be inexpensive. And this directly takes out several layers of the chain of the acquiring network and authentication. It allows trades of any size, from the smallest to the largest, and provides absolutely cutting-edge security and authentication processes. It's a continuation of something I designed nearly 20 years ago, which was the specification was that if I had two mobile phones that had power and a signal, I should be able to stand anywhere. If I was stood on the moon and I had a signal, I should be able to buy and pay for services such as, for instance, a taxi ride. Say I was a taxi driver on the moon and I'm the passenger, I should be able to pay on my phone to the taxi driver's phone, as and he can operate his phone as a point of sale, and then it can be end-to-end authenticated, complete security. That is the basis of the system. We had that running 20 years ago on GSM phone ones, GSM-1 phones. So with today's modern infrastructure, with the spread of the internet since then, with smartphones and much more higher processing and storage capacity on phones, the ability to put really very nice authentication and user experience processes into the phones means that we have the basis for a very powerful platform here.
Now, you mentioned bartering. So let's say, for example, you wanted to, maybe purchase a car, for example. But you didn't have any money. But you do provide valuable services to people. And so that could be done on your system, for example?
Absolutely. It can put values on traditionally non-value items. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, you might have a skill as a plasterer or an electrician. You could actually contribute that time into the system. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean that the person selling the car has to buy that capability from you. You could sell that time and capability to somebody else and exchange the value of that for part of the price of your car. Mm-hmm. You could exchange goods that you have as part or full cost for your car. And if you had, say, just the majority of the cost, you could use a small amount of cash to balance the amount. So the whole idea of the system is that in the real world, barter trades are generally never equal. So you have to have a form of electronic currency for convenience to balance the two processes. So there is an electronic equivalent, which is an inflation-proof currency. It's a currency that starts off with a stable metric and then tracks the commodity value of 1,000 top commodities within the trading system, so that it remains as stable as possible over as long a period of time, which means that you have an interchange process that can be global, but it also means that if the external banking system has a problem, reset, a cash liquidity squeeze, any of the above, inflation, devaluation of currencies, you are insulated from it inside the system. The value of the trade is always the same, and the currency is going to fluctuate so little that it is effectively insulated completely from the outside.
Well, you know, I don't think it's theory either, and I'd like to ask Simon this question, both you and Wynn and Simon this question, because when I spoke to Simon on my show a month or two ago, you had mentioned, and you referenced Cliff High, too, which is interesting. Phil, I've been in contact with Cliff. I hope to get him on my show soon. About how this coming between the period of August to September or October is a time when we might see a dramatic downturn in the U.S. stock market followed by a devaluation of the U.S. dollar, so that people would end up having actually less currency here in the United States, but they would probably be able to barter. So I wanted to ask you about that. So this exercise today is not entirely theoretical.
Absolutely not. It's very timely. And traditionally, when there have been economic or currency collapses, I understand you're an economist yourself, there's always two things people turn to. First of all, a new form of currency and barter trade. They always fall back to it. So Fairex is riding over the hill as the cavalry, to be the thing that takes the sting out of any economic downturn and also provides an insulation from it so that trade can carry on as normal whilst the economy sorts itself out and comes back to its normal everyday convenience level.
Well, one of the interesting things that I want to ask Simon about this too, and I've heard from my friends in the Galactic Alliance that actually money as a medium of exchange is not used outside of planet Earth. Money itself is a control mechanism that was instituted many thousands of years ago here on the planet by some negative entities, including the reptilians. But on more advanced planets beyond this planet, they don't even use money. And it's hard for example, I think it's hard for people here, humanity on planet Earth, to think how could trades be done? How could there be an exchange without money? And I'd love to explore that with you further, especially you, Simon, and from your knowledge about other extraterrestrial races.
The difficulty, I think, for excuse me, Ted. The difficulty for most people is that they are born into a money world, mm-hmm. And everything they've done from the ages of 4 or 5 years old, they go to the candy store, and they know that they hand some coins across and they'll get candy. So right. They're already into that system.
Right.
So couldn't go from 60 miles an hour to zero overnight. Although that might be the ideal, that's actually not possible. So the project that both Wynne and I are deeply committed to not only helps everyone, actually, also in the developing world and those that are already well established, but it also begins to show, this is what Wynne was trying to get across, it actually shows that you can operate a system without being greedy. Because we're not corporates, because we're not going to let anybody come in and hijack mm-hmm. this system, mm-hmm. we are not going to start squeezing people and charging exorbitant rates. Mm-hmm. This is the only planet that I'm aware of where money is king. You can't go out of your front door now right. unless you've got some dollars in your wallet because you feel naked. Mm-hmm. And there isn't another planet like this. The system doesn't work like this because the hierarchical connection to greed does not exist in most planets. Now, there are planets that have a trade system and a barter system, and that's standard. There are some planets that work on a credit system, but there is no planet, to my knowledge, that has folding bits of paper and discs of coin which value a person. You know, where I've visited before off this world, you're valued by how much kindness you do or how much you love somebody or how much you do for the community, not how many bits of folding paper you have in your pocket. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Wynne can add to that.
Well, at least real quick, I want to mention, Simon, that at least before 1913 here in the United States, we had control of our own currency, and it was actually backed by something. It was backed by gold. Of course, President Roosevelt took us off the gold standard in 1933. And then President Kennedy, before he was assassinated back in 1963, that he wanted to return to a silver standard. But at least back then, there was some backing of the dollar. Now there's nothing, and all it says is "In God We Trust." So.
It's exactly right.
You know.
Yes, as you know, the origins of this go back to at least Babylonian times, 6,000 years.
Right.
And really what this brought in was a form of overt slavery that's morphed into a form of debt slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And debt-leveraged money is, in fact, the mechanism for that. That's why you have actually a relatively small amount of cash and liquid assets in the world supporting an enormous tower of debt. I mean, the ratio of actual physical gold, silver, and cash in the world to the size of the bond market is a ratio of 8 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the bond and stock market, it's a ratio of 20 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take the derivative market, it's a ratio of 200 to 1.
Wow.
So that's how much debt is leveraged out of your $1 in your hand. It's, you know, on the derivative market, you've $200 of debt associated with that.
Well,
and it can't keep on going. It's a Ponzi scheme of sorts. It's
right.
It uses the four sources of capital at the bottom to continually feed in and expand the system
mm-hmm.
until eventually it reaches a saturation point, which we're reaching now.
Mm-hmm.
And when it does that, then the value has to reset. And generally speaking, the people at the bottom of that pyramid are the ones that lose out. And that's where Fairex comes in. This is to maintain and recover the value for those people so they can trade in a different way to leverage a small amount of cash when liquidity is stretched to maximize their amount of day-to-day trading so they can have normal levels of trading, but in a direct and actually more efficient way, because there isn't debt on the money that's being issued, there isn't taxation on the exchanges or most of the exchanges that are being made, mm-hmm. and you cut out several layers of payments in acquiring systems and banking charges. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a more efficient way of trading.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Now, I don't know if it was you who told me this, Simon, but when we spoke recently, but I it stuck in my mind that you said that there would be this downturn in the world economy late summer, early fall, but then there would be a recovery here worldwide, but it would be a new kind of recovery, not based on the old systems, but on new systems, much more fairer economic systems.
Yes, and you mentioned Cliff High,
right.
and to be fair, lots of commentators are now reading the very hard evidence coming out of not just the States, but in a number of countries. Mm-hmm. And there's an inescapable conclusion that a crash is just around the corner. Here in my own country, in England, some of the leading pillars of the establishment have been writing in major newspapers warning that this year could see a very big collapse. And indeed, one person was even saying it'll be like the 1929 Wall Street crash all over again. Mm. So there are a number of people now who are looking at the situation and saying there's something big happening. Mm. And what Wynne and I are absolutely keen to do is get Fairex up and running so that if this crash hits, then people have got an alternative to go to. And as Wynne was saying, once you're in the system, you're protected, because if the dollar was to devalue 25 or 30%, mm-hmm. if you've got the system going, it doesn't devalue. That's the important point. It would only devalue if you took out from the system whatever you had and put it back in a bank, presuming a bank still existing. Mm-hmm. But if you leave it in the system, well, then it maintains the same value that you had when you put it in there. So there are so many positives to this. And so, you know, we're looking at crowdsourcing and to get this going. And I'm sure Wynne would want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, Wynne, go right ahead. That's great. Go ahead, please.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we actually put our heart where our words are, and to make sure that the system is actually owned by as many people as possible, we are actively pursuing a strategy of crowdsource funding the first operation, which is kind of the master node, which is the UK. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make available equity in the UK company to as many people as possible, and we want it to be as many people as possible. So we want a lot of people to put in a small amount of money. We don't want a small amount of people to put in a large amount of money. Okay. We want it to be owned by hundreds of thousands of people. And from that, it becomes self-financing after that. As soon as the UK system is up and running, it very quickly generates cash for expansion. And the strategy is to expand immediately to the European continent, probably via the Netherlands, and South America, which are the areas that are going to need it fastest. Mm-hmm. And then we'll expand to North America and the rest of the world.
Well,
that's a strategy. So we've had to struggle to find a crowdsourcing system that can allow American people to actually have equity via crowdsourcing. So we're just finalizing it now, but we should be using a crowdsourcing platform that's in Finland, which will allow US, Canadian, and Japanese people to put money into this.
Well, let me ask you this, Wynne and Simon. Is there a website where they could go for more information on this if they'd like to support your efforts?
Yes, there is. There is fairex.co.uk, which is just a holding page, just a contact page. But for any detailed inquiries, should go to Simon Park's website, which is simonparks.org.
Simonparks.org. Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. Well, this is, if there is an economic downturn in the future, today's interview is extremely timely.
I think we'll be looking back on this interview in a year's time and saying, you know, this was a moment in history.
Well, I don't think that people will want to reinstitute the old system too. If there is a downturn, people will be looking for new answers. And one of the things that I think many economies, many comedies are based upon a pillage and exploitation. And especially Mother Earth, Gaia, is very, very tired of getting polluted and beaten up, mm-hmm. basically. So business in the future will have to take care of the planet in a much far more ethical and non-polluting way than things are done now.
Absolutely. Fairx is very specifically targeted towards this, in that it's very ethically and morally driven, but also it is designed so that excess profits from the system that are above the requirements to operate and expand the system are directly fed back into sustainable and eco protection. So, for instance, the system works by being able to put values on things, mm-hmm. and we have the freedom to put alternative values on things that the existing system doesn't recognise. So, for instance, we can put a value on an area of rainforest in the Amazon because we can value the oxygen it produces, right. or the amount of water vapour it helps to provide to the neighbouring country.
Right.
And we can actually support people that are in the system in that area so that rather than pay to have the trees cut down, we can pay to keep the trees because we can put a value on what those trees do. We can put a real value on it, a real worth to that thing, rather than just an economical capital value.
I know you're busy, but next Monday, could I ask you a favor? Maybe both you and Simon can do this. Could you send an email to President Trump and ask him?
I will do that.
Because it sounds like a great idea. The thing is, this is not a joke, but I saw a post here a few weeks ago where President Trump has ordered the economic viability of maintaining national monuments throughout the United States, including places like the Grand Canyon, and he wants a study done as to why they shouldn't be exploited for mining and resource extraction.
Absolutely. We're very much in parallel with what needs to be done in the world.
Okay.
And Fairx isn't something that bites the hand of the present economic system. It's something that helps support it because it brings extra real liquidity into the base of the system, which helps support it. Mm-hmm. But it also gives an extended global community with actual ethical values that help to bring value to things such as eco-sustainability, etc. So it's a new way of thinking. We also have part of the system designed to bring in open-source innovation in developing nations. I spent most of what I've earned in the last 20 years on patents, for instance, and defending mm-hmm. patents.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as an innovator and a serial innovator how difficult it is to bring world-changing technologies actually into the marketplace. It's mm-hmm. very, very difficult. You know, innovators are actually a dying breed, yet they're the things that founded the UK and things that founded the Industrial Revolution in the United States.
Sure. Sure.
And with a system like Fairx, because it has such a large scope, you know, we're not talking, you know, a million customers or 10 million customers. We're looking at potentially billions of users of Fairx. It brings a strength in numbers which has, even though it's a little guy, you know, half of those guys are earning less than $2 a day.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still people who are outside the system, who think differently, can bring in a new perspective, bring in new innovation, and the system simply needs to identify who they need to network with mm-hmm. to bring things directly to the market. So that's also a big part of it. So not only do we have a financial mechanism for more efficient trading, but also it is geared to bringing innovation that can help reform the planet, help develop technologies that we haven't even thought of yet, that somebody out there will, out of, you know, potentially billions of people, somebody will come up with an idea that will help with, you know, bringing oxygen and helping rainfall into countries and all sorts of technologies, recycling plastics, everything. All that is out there to be tapped, and that has a value, but it's not a value that's respected by the present corporate system in the West.
That's true.
So, and these are the things, actually, that you talk of President Trump, and these are the things he's going to need. I looked at his, what he stated he was going to do when he was inaugurated,
mm-hmm.
and I realized immediately he needs to get a bit more liquidity into the system to actually meet his GDP estimates. So he's got a struggle, and as you can see, he's facing off against the Fed because he realizes that's sucking all the value out of his country.
Oh, absolutely! They're like parasites.
Mm-hmm. Parasites. So we're seeing that playing off now. So this is the sort of thing that yes, I know he's a busy man, but it's something that he could certainly get behind, and we'd certainly be happy to help. And anybody on the planet that, you know, requires this. I mean, this is why we're focused on South America. I mean, countries like Venezuela, where, mm-hmm. you know, you can't get toilet rolls, you know,
right.
and you've got 1,000% inflation. And,
right.
You know, you have to decide which time of the day you're buying something because mm-hmm. the price changes every mm-hmm. couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I hope you don't mind.
These places that need it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Wynn. I want to ask you this question quickly, Simon. From your contacts with benevolent extraterrestrials off-planet, what do they think of this system, and how have other advanced human civilizations handled the question of exchange or like a fair medium of what other systems exist beyond this planet for exchange?
That's a really good question, Ted. This can't come soon enough mm-hmm. because money is the anchor that holds down people's freedom. The benevolent extraterrestrials have always wanted a barter trade system to set people free. Mm. And it's a balance at the moment because, you know, we couldn't just immediately move to a barter and trade system overnight because the system would collapse and there would be a lot of hardship and pain.
Right.
So they actually want this system, but they want it to come in gently.
Mm-hmm.
Over a period of time. The negative people don't want this to happen because they want to maintain the control they have. But the way that the economy is going, the traditional system is falling and is going to fall. And as it stands at the moment, FairX is the only thing that will allow not just individuals, but small businesses, small, medium enterprises to actually trade. You know, an example of a store that has, I don't know, 500 pints of milk,
okay.
and they've a shelf life of 10 days, and the guy knows he's not going to shift it. But down the block is another store, and the guy's got 500 cans of fizzy drink. So they'll do a swap. So they can do that swap immediately. And this is the only system that allows people to find what they're looking for, because the machine will do all that, the computer will do all that, find mm-hmm. what they're looking for. They agree a price. There's a suggested price, but they will agree amongst themselves what that value might be,
mm-hmm.
and they then go ahead and do that swap.
Mm-hmm.
Wynn talked earlier about this is for the people. Here's an exciting option. There, hopefully, fingers crossed, things work and we have a little bit of money left over, then anybody who's used the system and used it appropriately will be allowed to vote. So we might have 4 or 5 exciting projects. How about saving whales? How about saving dolphins?
Mm-hmm.
And people will be allowed to vote as to which of these projects they want FairX to actually support.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't another project like this anywhere on the planet mm-hmm. that actually gives power to ordinary people to decide how they want to live with Gaia. There isn't
Beautiful.
Another system that does that. So we really, really, really have some fantastic ideas. We've only got an hour on the radio show,
mm-hmm.
and I felt it was really important that you know, you and the audience met Wynn, because this is Wynn's brainchild.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supporting him. It's his brainchild. And it's a fantastic opportunity for the audience to look back now in the future and say, well, that's when I first heard Wynn Keach speak. My goodness me. So that's where it all came from. So we are really excited, Ted. We're really excited. And I'll just say to your audience, keep your eyes open. Yes, Simon. Parks.org if you you want to get in contact about this. We will have our own website specifically for this.
Mm-hmm.
We're just in those early stages at the moment, but we're far enough down the road now for Wynn and I to come out and basically say hello to you and to the audience.
Well, I have to say this is a fantastic idea, and basically it's instituting a form of economic democracy, because if people here, for example, in the United States, could vote, they would get rid of all the GMO foods and all the garbage so-called food products produced by Monsanto, because they don't
Yes.
want it. They don't want it. It was forced upon them. The whole system's been very corrupt. It causes a lot of health effects. And also, for that matter, I think we would actually have free energy and the true development of alternative energy sources and get rid of this crazy fossil fuel economy.
Yes, absolutely. Couldn't agree more with you.
Yeah, and 99% of all businesses in the United States are, in fact, small, medium enterprises.
Right.
The large corporates are actually comparatively small in number, and they consume a disproportionately high amount of the debt finance in the country.
Right. Right.
So the small guys are the ones that really can make the difference. And with Varex, you have the ability to be able to support things that will really change the planet for the better. So you can support the farmers, you can support the supply chain.
If you can empower people to change not only their lives but their communities as well, you can have fantastic results. And there's two examples I'd like to mention on and get your comments. The first off is a program in Bangladesh. It's a program that helps women there, impoverished women, start their own businesses. I can't remember the name of the bank. Graham Bank? Have you heard about it? I'm sure you have heard about it, where they loan money to destitute people, especially a lot of women who don't have any employment, and they get it all paid back. And it's been a fantastic, phenomenal program in Bangladesh. But that's what you're doing. You're empowering people. And a second example is some people say the collapse of the Soviet Union in the early 1990s was an example of how state-controlled and centralized planning for economic activities just doesn't work. You've got to empower people on the local level, on the community level, on the individual level, for them to take have economy really grow. If you do everything from top down, whether it's on a big corporate level or on a big government level, it just doesn't work long term, very well.
Yeah, it's exactly right. It is a case of strengthening community, mm-hmm. making sure you support things that actually support community rather than damage them.
Right.
And yes, as you say about microfinancing in Bangladesh, it's also the same in South Africa.
Right.
It's very successful. Mm-hmm. In fact, from the calculations I made, from the profits the system makes, it's actually possible in integrity hubs within communities to actually make micro loans with no interest payments at all.
Beautiful.
Just actually put the money into the system, mm-hmm. and it actually will circulate back enough to make a profit.
Sure.
That shows you how greedy the existing banking system is at so many stages.
Right.
You could actually give people money and it would actually stimulate the economy and make a profit.
I know from my benevolent extraterrestrial friends off planet from the Galactic Alliance, this planet is shifting from one that was in the past based on service to self and negativity and war and conflict to service to others based upon peaceful and harmony and a really beautiful planet. That's what we're shifting now into that. And I can see your system win. Becoming as part of that service to others kind of economic system.
Yeah, this is a tool for doing that. There is a sort of Western gold rush towards spiritual advancement and the evolution of the planet and organizing the way we live in a better way. And we're making the shovels.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Simon, I'd love your thoughts on it too.
Well, it's been 3 years in the making, mm-hmm. in terms of actively sitting down and looking at it, but also it was waiting for the planet to be ready. Mm-hmm. You can't go with a plan unless everything is ready, and things are nearly about ready for it now.
Mm-hmm.
When anybody goes about their daily life, they realize that they are not being treated fairly. They realize that they are just individuals who have money, and the system wishes to take that money off them. One of the many plans that Wynn I have is to build sustainable communities, small communities living in log cabins, where a group of people can support each other, where there's no energy costs because it's mm-hmm. solar or wind powered.
Mm-hmm.
A completely different outlook to life, and that is actually what we want. We want to actually create this Fairex and then say, well, where do we go with it now? What mm-hmm. do the users want? The people who use this, sure. what actually do they want? What do they see as the future?
Mm-hmm.
So as possible, as possible as it can be, we want people to not just be as we have in the system now, where you pay your money and then you just get patted on the head and told, right, go and be a good guy and off you go. We don't want to treat people like that because we don't want to be treated like that ourselves. So we said, okay, how do we want to treat people? And as soon as you start thinking along those lines, then you have a completely different paradigm. And a corporation couldn't do what Wynn and I are doing because they only understand greed and profit. They only understand that they want to make as much money from people as quickly as they can, for as cheaply as they can, for as long as they can. That's the, all they work on. And Wynn and I are not coming at it from that aspect at all. We are saying, how can we empower people? And that's what sets us apart. So I think I'll just be quiet now and let Wynn tidy up because we're running out of time.
I'd like to just make this quick comment if I could, Simon and Wynn. I think most people in the world want to live in peace and harmony, and they don't want to fight. You know, for example, I think, you know, if you look at the U.S. economy, 57% roughly of our GDP is spent on the military, bombs and weapons. But I think if people could vote on that, actually have a real vote on it, I think most people will get rid of the military because it's not necessary anymore. We have weapons of mass. We have weapons like nuclear technology that can obliterate the whole world in a few seconds, in a few minutes. But nobody wants to do that. And I think the time for fighting and wars and the militaries around the world have passed.
Yes, I agree, and I think that modern warfare, it's possible to repurpose the war machine, mm-hmm. in that it should be fighting to protect the planet and fighting to protect the people of the planet, not to have local skirmishes, which are really nothing more than tributes to some god of war.
Right.
It makes no sense. It just feeds an inefficient military-industrial manufacturing machine, which sucks all the value out of your country.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, as an example of how things change, I made the Ridgeblade wind turbine, and they ended up being made in the Czech Republic. Now, in the height of the Cold War, I was an RAF pilot, and I spent my time sneaking over there,
mm-hmm.
trying to see where we could be picked up on radar. And the guy who actually made my wind turbines, which are the most eco-friendly in the world, was a guy who used to sit in a forest with a gun trying to shoot me. And that's how it was back in the day.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, literally.
How funny.
So, you know, sort of 20, 30 years later, you know, we're best friends.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the world can change. You know, you can literally go from, you know, to make the plowshares. And I think once we establish, you know, what it is that we actually need as humanity to live and how we can achieve that best with the resources out there. There's so much resource. We've spent so many hundreds of years digging things out of the ground, making it into materials, making it into things. That there is so much out there that can be repurposed in a better way.
Sure.
And Fairex is a start of how to do that, to mm-hmm. identify where an opportunity is to take something, use it in a different way, use it more efficiently.
Right.
And generally, you know, I've worked across the world, I've worked all over the world, met people of all types. And there are really only two types of people. There are good people and bad people. And most people on this planet are good people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a comparatively small percentage that are actually the bad, psychopathic, parasitic, degenerate numbers. Most people in this world are good.
Well,
I don't care where you go.
I couldn't agree with you more. I never forget when I was going to school at the University of California, Berkeley, and we used to discuss whether the true nature of humanity is to be kind, benevolent, and loving, or to be nasty and negative and warring. And I know I've met most people always, even the worst ones, have a good side to them, and that's all the grain that grain of goodness I think is in all of humanity.
Yeah, I think there's a small percentage, probably around 5%, that are hardwired just to be mean,
mm-hmm.
but I think the rest are actually good people if put in an environment where they can be good.
Right, absolutely, and I think because our nature is to be benevolent, kind, and loving people, we have a very bright and beautiful future ahead of us. I don't see us getting into World War III. I think the timeline has changed. And your economic system, I think, will really help people bridge that gap for the future.
Yes, I think the planet is moving to a higher spiritual frequency. And I think we're also moving very close now towards general contact with off-world civilizations. And I think we have to demonstrate our responsibility to ourselves and the planet.
Right. Right. Well, Simon, I want to congratulate you because you've been in touch, of course, with the extraterrestrials for years, the benevolent ones. But you've also had contact with the reptilians, too. And I think that's been good in a sense that you've been able to understand how they think.
Yes, it's taught me a great deal. But also they've learned, Ted. I mean, this isn't really widely understood, Because when you have different parts to your soul, if you imagine a meter swinging from 0 to 12, every time you do something good, the needle moves to the right. Mm-hmm. Every time you do something negative, the needle swings back. Mm-hmm. So it's not just that I'm learning, but others are learning off this planet. So they learn through me. And I ultimately want all negative races to evolve and change mm-hmm. and actually embrace the light mm-hmm. because everything should have the right to evolve. And sometimes some beings just refuse to take a step forward, and it's usually out of fear. So, right. you know, hopefully what we're doing on this planet is pushing it along a little bit more to the light, mm-hmm. and that will have a beneficial effect right across the multiverse.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left, and I wanted to tell you that, so I'll give you time to wrap up your wonderful interview today. For those of you just tuning in, I've been interviewing Simon Parks and Win Keach, wonderful gentlemen from the United Kingdom, today on a new economic model for the world. Simon, I'd like to give you the floor first, and then followed by Win.
Well, I'm actually going to give the floor straight across to Wynn, but before I do, I'm going to thank you, Ted, and thank your audience. God bless you, and God bless your audience. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Simon, what's your website again, please?
SimonParks.org.
Okay, wonderful. And Wynn, go right ahead. We've got a couple minutes left.
Yes, thank you to your audience for listening. And yes, the FairX is all about this. It's your wealth. It's your planet. This is your system to make sure that you are free from the debt burden and that you can actually expand and develop abundance on the planet the way it should be. Mm-hmm. It's your system and it's your wealth. So that's unique, really, I think.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, be sure to let me know when you get your website up and running. And what do you see for the future, Simon and Wynn? Just curious.
I think the future is dependent on the human race deciding it's not going to live in fear. Right. If the human race embraces truth and light, we have a wonderful future ahead of us. Uh-huh. That's what I believe will happen.
Right. Right. And yes. And you, Wynn?
Yes, I believe that community is the answer to strengthening the world and for it to advance. And I think this is a tool that's part of that.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I want to thank both of you so much for coming on today. And, you know, you've really enlightened me because people are tired of being, I think many people around the world are tired of being exploited. And this gives them a real opportunity to look at another system that people, I think, are very interested in. The old ways of negativity and exploitation and fear-based systems, economic systems, are dying. And they need to be replaced with a new positive kind of system where people are uplifted and their talents appreciated, that empower people to create a much better and happier planet.
Yes, the branch of the old economic tree starting to wither, and this is a new shoot, and it will be a pathfinder to demonstrate to the world just how it can be done.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I want to thank both of you gentlemen so much for coming on today. It's been fascinating. And for more information, please go to Simon's website at www.simonparks.org. Is that right, Simon?
That's it, yes.
Okay, wonderful. And I want to thank you both so much for coming on today. And I'm going to wrap up the interview now with Imagine from John Lennon. And then we'll be going to Sydney, to Finland, to interview a wonderful lady there, and as well as Tokyo, Japan, and Sydney, Australia, in just a few minutes. Please stay tuned.